The following is an It Was a Thing on TV special presentation.
I almost feel like doing an Ernie Anderson here saying, and now back to, you know, whoever, Linda Evans and pick some guy from the 80s here in, I buried your sister in the backyard, you little
Billy Barty in.
Billy Barty and a sharp person in, two short people trying to get into an X-rated movie.
I know this is way before Sierra Hanna was born. Now back to Sierra Hanna in The Littlest Passenger, the Ruby Frankie story.
Gee, what a great introduction for our Hall of Fame episode.
I thought that's going to be edited out. No! Surprise me. I don't care if you keep it in or keep it out. I thought that was going to be edited out.
No, I meant the thing. Well, whatever. They're not going to know about that report. But whatever. Welcome, everybody. The It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Fame class of 2024. This is the third annual presentation of the It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Fame. And I think, guys, this year, every year we talk about, oh, this class is great. This class is great. Well, you know what? I think this class may go down as one of the all-time great classes we've had. Now, I know 2022 was good, 2023 was great, but 2024 is on another level.
I think 2024 is much more diverse in a number of ways than previous inductions.
I'll tell you right now, 2024 has a little something for everyone.
So, Mike, let's start with your first inductee in the class of 2024.
My first inductee is a person we just talked about last week. He is a prolific cartoon creator, cartoon producer, cartoon voice even. But his company is known for being really cheap. We talked about the lack of quality in the Ghostbusters cartoon last week. We talked about how he was really cheap when it came to the Ghostbusters, the live-action series in 1975, because he didn't give it a second season, even though it was the second best television show ratings-wise on Saturday mornings in 75-76. And he decided to put that money towards Isis and Shazam. For the better or for the worse, doesn't make a difference. But also, we talked about his cheapness in other cartoons and other live-action shows. He-Man, She-Ra, the Holiday Special, can't forget about the Dildo Copter, and obviously Uncle Croc's Block. You know, we've actually made a unit of time out of that show, amazingly. The person I'm talking about is Lou Scheimer. Unfortunately, Lou Scheimer can't be here with us this evening because A, he's not living anymore, but also B, he was too cheap to take airfare to get here. So I'll take the award in his honor.
An amazing tribute to Lou Scheimer. He's dead and he was too cheap to afford a plane ticket to get here. But let's not forget he was the voice of Orko, right, at He-Man?
Well, yeah, he did so many voices for Filmation shows. We talked about a number of them last week, and yeah, he did Orko and other voices for his various cartoons. So it just unfortunately sort of fits the bill with him being sort of a cheapskate.
Well, good on you, Lou. You brought us so much entertainment here at It Was a Thing on TV, and you're the first inductee in the 2024 Hall of Fame class. Now, Chico, who'd you pick as your first choice?
My first choice, my first induction, is one of the unsung heroes in African American television. We talked about him on the Sanford Arms. We talked about him, however briefly, in You Can't Take It With You. We talked about him last month when we talked about Easy Street. Then we talked about him on the Red Fox Show, and perhaps best known for his role on Good Times as Sweet Daddy Wilson. My first induction into the It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Fame, Teddy Wilson. And I'm sure Teddy Wilson would be ready to accept this honor if he wasn't so dead.
Man, how dark this show has gotten so far. For two inductees, we have to point out. Oh, they're so dead. Well, wait, that implies to like 85% of this class. I don't know how my first inductee is. For all I know, it could be in a landfill somewhere. But yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, Lord.
Greg, that just took a real bad turn.
For
he could be
I,
in a landfill somewhere.
For all we know, it could be hanging up in the flagship store.
I doubt it, but before we get to my first inductee, now, Chico, you mentioned the Red Fox Show.
I did mention the Red Fox Show.
And Teddy Wilson was, of course, on the Red Fox Show. But do you know who was a writer on the Red Fox Show?
Who was a writer on the Red Fox Show?
Bob Einstein. A.K.A.
Oh.
Super Dave Osborne. But hold on a second. I watched the Super Bob Einstein movie on Max today. The documentary
Wait, Super,
about his...
wait, you said Super Bob?
Yeah, there was a documentary about his life on Max.
Oh, I thought it was an error. I thought you meant Super Dave. Okay, I did not know this.
Yes. Now, in the documentary, he tells a story about when he was writing for the Red Fox Show. It was... like, they could not find Red Fox anywhere, so they had to send Super Dave out to find Red Fox. And he found Red Fox somewhere in the bag, underneath some, like, I don't know, some dancer's skirt or whatever, on his knees. And you could just imagine what he was doing underneath the skirt. And his reply when Bob finds him is, "Can't a man relax?"
Does this have anything to do with your first entry?
No.
Okay.
Well, wait, hold on a second. Maybe if somebody was, you know, in the right area to give some air to this object, if you know what
Good
I
night,
mean.
Everybody.
If you know what I mean. But I'm talking about something that had some trouble showing his face in that one corner in 1983, but has provided us with so much joy every November. And I'm talking about the Superman balloon at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I mean, let's remember, guys, this poor balloon lost its arm at one parade one year. Think about how depressed this balloon is every year, being like, ugh. You know, I go through so much crap fighting Lex Luthor and Brainiac. Like, I gotta show my face to these people every year. Well, I gotta put my best foot forward. I know I have to hide in this corner. This poor-ass balloon. What do you guys think about the Superman balloon?
Anytime I think about it, it's very deflating. deflating balloon. Never mind.
Perfect.
Okay, Mike, number two for you.
Number two for me is a person. He's been in a number of shows we've talked about, and I know we use the term low-key Hall of Famer every now and then. I think his star, in terms of being a Hall of Famer, has risen in the last year or so based on some things we've seen him in, both stuff that we've covered and also stuff that we haven't covered. Briefly, among the shows that we have talked about him on include Here's Boomer, and he was also on Super Train, and also Flying High, and Sirota's Court. A lot of shows, and also something, another commonality you'll notice is these are older shows. Because Here's Boomer would have been early 80s. And every show that I've said besides that has been before the 80s, from the 70s thus far. We also talked about him on a pilot for the Rita Moreno Show, which I hope gets out there one day because it is absolutely horrible, and I would love to share it with you guys so you can suffer just like I suffered when I saw it the one time. But I think the place that most of us know this guy best is on the Batman TV series in 1966. He played King Tut. The person that I'm talking about is Victor Buono. Sadly, he hasn't been with us for over 42 years. But I think we have said his name enough, and he's had enough of an impact where he deserves to be enshrined.
And hold on, we talked about him in the Dick Tracy pilot last year.
Oh, that's right. Dick Tracy. He's a good cop.
He's a good cop. All right, Chico, second inductee for you.
Second inductee. We've talked about her. This is another great in African-American television and African-American cinema, if you think about it. We talked about her when we talked about Baby, I'm Back. We also talked about her on That's My Mama and Holmes and Yo-Yo.
And who are we talking about?
A lady who has a window somewhere in her honor.
Oh.
Oh, we also talked about her on The Flash.
That's right. 1990 Flash.
But again, she has a window somewhere in her honor for all of the hard work she did with Marla Gibbs and Elena Reid and Jack A. Harry. I'm talking about Helen Martin.
That's terrific.
And I shall do this in her honor.
He put his hands like what she would do on 227. Oh, it's fantastic. Okay. My second inductee is maybe somebody that we've talked about multiple times on this podcast, a perennial, that guy from That Thing. But I think you would know him best from either two things. One, he was Matthew Broderick's dad in War Games. And the second, he was in the Clayton Bigsby sketch as the news anchor on Chappelle's Show. And I'm talking about the late, great William Bogart. How many entries have we talked about William Bogart in over the years?
I lost count.
Mike, it has to be like at least four or five we've mentioned William Bogart in.
I'm thinking it's at least four or five, absolutely.
Yes. But yeah, if you saw him in the anything, and you saw him in the Chappelle Show sketch, you'd be like, oh, I know him from this thing. So yeah, if anybody was the perennial that guy from that thing. Definitely William Boger. Okay, Mike, your third choice.
My third choice, I don't think we've talked about this gentleman in many entries up to this point. I think there's actually two other reasons I'm putting him into the Hall of Fame, which we'll get to in a little bit. Among the shows that we've covered that he has been in include E slash R and Supertrain, and Victor Buono was on an episode of Supertrain, so we have two people who've been on Supertrain who are being inducted coincidentally thus far. We also talked about him in The Munsters Today, and I'm sure eventually we're going to talk about him in Sledgehammer and possibly the Dragnet television series in the late 80s, early 90s. He was also on an episode of The New Monkees. But I think we know him a lot better from specifically two things. One is he was in the Trouble with Tribbles episode on the original Star Trek, which I think is the first place I remember hearing his name be like, he was in that episode? I've never seen the episode, but I know about it. I need to actually find this and see it. But second, he's probably best known for a certain TV series that Z Living airs like three times a day, four times a day, and it followed wrestling on USA back 30 years ago. And we've made a number of jokes about it, Silk Stockings. I'm talking about the one and only Charlie Brill. And between him and his wife, Mitzi McCall, they are absolute legends, not just of television, but also comedy. So you're very well deserving, Mr. Brill. Welcome to the Hall of Fame.
Okay, Chico, what's number three?
Number three and number four, I'm going to introduce them together.
Oh.
Because when you see one, or I guess when you hear one, chances are you're going to hear the other one. One of them we talked about in great length, I should say, on the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle show. The other one we talked about in Here's Boomer. But if you think about that voice from that cartoon, if these two are not on that cartoon, it is not worth watching. My number three and number four inductees, and I'm going to put the proper respect on their names, Peter Optimus Prime Cullen and Frank Megatron Welker.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. The two names you think of when you think of Transformers. And obviously, the two of them have done many voices over the years, so.
Frank was the voice of a frog on Oh Madeline.
Oh, that's true. He was in Oh Madeline. He did voice a frog in Oh Madeline. Oh my God. Oh. Well, I'm trying to think. Maybe next year I'll consider James Sloan in the Hall of Fame next year. Maybe. I don't know. I could put him in.
He's
We'll
got to put
see.
in the work first. I'm sorry.
I'm sure he's had to have been in at least two more besides Oh Madeline over the
I'm on
years.
the case.
Okay, Mike's on the case, but while he's doing that, I think I gotta put my third inductee into the Hall of Fame now. And so, this man, I have to say, is an all-time legend of this podcast. I first told you this guy's story way back when, and I remember you all thinking that this was the funniest story ever. And then, when we found out in 2020 that this man was going to get his own episode of Dark Side of the Ring on Vice, we were like, oh my God, we have to watch this live. And it was our first ever live show. And I gotta say, it was everything we ever hoped it would be. And then we covered his promotion on this podcast. And it was everything we also ever hoped it would be. And I'm talking about the one, the only, Herb Abrams. That's right. You'll never see Herb Abrams in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame, but damn it, we're gonna put it in our Hall of Fame. And you know what? We have to respect a man who nicknamed himself Mr. Electricity. GA can only imagine why he nicknamed himself Mr. Electricity, given the things he loved to do in his life, Herb Abrams.
I could not even begin to tell you.
But let's just remember, he went out a champion in life. He died covered in baby oil and cocaine. And let me just say, that's a great way to go out.
Can I quickly get into James Sloyan's either past entries or shows that are on our list?
Oh, sure, let's do that.
Okay. The Bronx Zoo. I do believe that's on our list. And if not, I think it deserves to be there. If you remember the Bronx Zoo from about 35, 36 years ago with Ed Asner as a principal of a high school. He was also in Misfits of Science. We've already covered that. So that's two. So keep count here. Third is going to be O'Madeline. Fourth, I think, Greg, you said we're going to cover this eventually. Today's FBI.
Oh, yes.
He was on an episode of that, so that's four. He was on 10 Speed and Brown Shoe an episode, so that's five. So I think we have enough to justifiably put James Sloyan in the Hall of Fame. But I know you're not here to hear that. You're here to hear about my final inductee, correct?
Yes. Now, hold on a second. I teased this in the UFL live show. We teased it. I didn't say who it was. Well, wait, we did say who it was, but Chico hasn't listened to the live show, so he has no idea who it is.
And Greg, you know one of the things I told you about this person? There's one that you're going to just absolutely lose your stuff over. So there's more than what I just told you, however many hours ago, 2, 3 hours ago. Okay? So Chico's going to get two bits of information that'll blow him away. You're going to get one, but this may be the most underrated low-key Hall of Fame entry ever. But when I tell you these two little tidbits, this is going to be like the perfect induction for the Hall of Fame, okay? The person's name is Joe Gibb or Joe Gibb, G-I-E-B on the last name. There was one reason I was putting him in the Hall of Fame, but now after doing a little bit of research, there's actually two. First and foremost, he has been on a couple of entries. The one I'm going to start off with is one where he just made a brief appearance. He was on Davis Rules as a delivery boy, second season, Love at First Sighting episode, which I've seen actually a pretty good episode. The second reason, and this is the first reason that Greg knows about, he was on Super Train, specifically. Chico, I hope you're paying attention before you fall
I'm
out of your
listening.
chair laughing. Okay.
I'm listening.
You know, when we talk about Super Train, we talk about how Billy Barty and another person went into the president's hotel cabin on the train. Yeah, they broke in and all that.
Yeah.
He's the other person.
What?
He's the other dwarf with Billy Barty.
He's the other dwarf?
He's the other short person. But seriously, the second tidbit, which neither of you know about, that's going to blow both of you away. Seriously, I mean, you really need to be like, put your hands on like a desk or something. You're going to hurt yourself laughing because this is hilarious. He was also on, well, technically two shows we've covered, but I think it was combined into one installment. He was on, since we know he's a short person, think about a topic we've covered, a show that we've covered, that involved short people. Specifically, a lot of short people.
Oh my god!
Wait! Hold on! Time out! You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about!
Wait, now we're going to take it a step further. We're talking about Man versus Beast 1 and 2.
Oh, yes!
Wait, but it's... We're not there yet, Greg. Hold on. To make it even better, he was the captain on the little person team
oh
that challenged
God.
The elephants. So there is maybe the lowest key Hall of Fame case ever. But once you hear he was the other short person with Billy Barty in the Super Train episode, and he was the captain of the little person team going against the elephant on Man vs. Beast, now he's a legend. Joe Gieb, Joe Gibe, welcome.
Oh my god! What the whole grain, gluten-free, actual retail hell just happened?
Maybe the best induction ever of somebody you guys have never heard of. And the thing is, and Greg can vouch for this, he wanted me to fill in my induction list while we were watching the UFL game. And this was actually the second name I had listed. I had Lou Scheimer first, and then I had, just in the back of my mind, who was the short person that was with Billy Barty on the Super Train? Because we keep on referring to that specific episode where they go into that presidential cabin or what have you. And so I saw the name and I said, Greg, I'm making this person one of my inductees this year. But then as I was doing a little bit of research in the last, say, 5-10 minutes preparing for this, that's when I saw the Man versus Beast and I knew, oh my gosh, I didn't just hit a home run. I hit a grand slam. I knew this was going to be so absolutely hilarious in your guys' minds. So I'm glad that it delivered. So Chico, you've done your allotment of inductees. So Greg, we're going to send it over to you for your last inductee before we get to the headliners and a lifetime achievement award.
Well, my final inductee is somebody who we talked about many times on this podcast. We talked about him, I believe, for the first time proper in episode 63, The Money Maze. Because he was the announcer on that show. And he was an announcer for many things over the years, including in the 1980s and 90s, the USA Network. You'd hear his voice all the damn time on there. And then, starting in 1995, he had an incredible run as the announcer on The Late Show with David Letterman. I'm talking about the one, the only, Alan Coulter.
Not to steal a line from Chico, but to put some proper respect on that name, Greg, gotta call him Big Red.
Oh, Big Red, yes. But one of our favorite moments that we talked about in this podcast was his great reading the epic minisode, Ball, Get Out of My Nachos.
And good timing with the Major League Baseball season essentially starting this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I hope Biff doesn't have any foul balls get into his nachos. But you know what would happen if somebody hit a foul ball into Biff's nachos? He's going to kick their butt.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's Father Biff, but you get it.
Yeah. I think we should announce who our Lifetime Achievement Award is for 2024. And, well, back in October when this person passed away, we all came to an agreement for the Hall of Fame whenever we do it next year. This person, let's mark him down, give him the Lifetime Achievement Award, because there's nobody else that can compete with us. This person, I gotta say, if it wasn't for him, we probably don't even have a podcast right now. Wouldn't you say, Mike?
Well, the genesis story of this podcast, and we've talked about it in the past, is roughly 5 years ago, Greg sent me an image from like a TV guide, and the caption said something to the extent of, can you find the dead guy in this image? And that was basically the birth of the podcast, saying, hey, we got to talk about this and talk about these goofy TV shows. So in some sort of indirect way, this person is responsible for us being here, if you will.
Yes. And we're talking about the late, great Matthew Perry. And really, obviously, Chandler Bing from Friends, that's what he's obviously going to be best known for. But he was in so much more than just Friends. I mean, for us. I mean, we're probably going to talk about him, what, 4 or 5 more times on this podcast? Because we have, what, Mr. Sunshine, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Go on.
Yeah, go on. Or as, hold on a second, Seth MacFarlane, as Ryan Lochte called it, Goon. Which in 2024 means something else.
Also, maybe we could make a case that The Odd Couple, the most recent version, may be an entry. I mean, we could legit do an entry on all versions of The Odd Couple that didn't have Jack Klugman and Tony Randall. And I know The Odd Couple from the early 80s is definitely on our list.
And I think we mentioned that we did like that version of The Odd Couple with him and
Thomas Lennon.
Yeah.
And I did just see it's rerunning somewhere. I know I've seen it every now and then on like a Pluto TV comedy channel, but I think like Laugh More just added it to their schedule, airing it like one night a week for like 3 hours.
That trombone shorty theme.
I'm trying to see where else we may talk about him.
Oh, we're talking about that episode of Growing Pains where like he drove drunk and crashed into a tree. I think that's on the list.
Well, also, and I think this might be on the list. Problem is there's definitely very little footage. The whole episode, the whole pilot is not out there. But there was a series called LAX 2194 in 1994. So if LAX 2194 got picked up, we would have never had Matthew Perry as Chandler Bing.
Yeah, and you know who else was on that pilot?
Remind me, I'm sure I remember, but it's been a long time since I thought about LAX 2194.
Oh, I know.
Say it.
Kelly who?
No, besides Kelly who?
Ryan Stiles.
Yes.
That's right, Ryan Stiles was on there, yes.
They're both awesome.
All right. So now let's finally get into the headliners of 2024. And let's talk about our first inductee. And, well, what can we say about this first inductee in the headliner class? Let's just say she's a big girl now.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a veteran of soap. Of course she was on I'm a Big Girl Now. Hopefully I will never be able to say that again. But also, spent 2 years as Paul Walker's mama.
On Throb.
Mm-hmm. With that Nylons theme, no less, which she sang a verse on.
That's right, she did. But, oh, soap. Who didn't love Corinne on soap?
Oh man, do I want to say this or not? Who didn't love Corinne on soap? Well, no, I was gonna say everybody loved Corinne on soap, especially Sal Viscuso.
Yeah, so much so he had to quit the priesthood.
Yeah, and then they eloped in like a cave in the middle of nowhere. Not even joking about that.
Yeah, and then they had a demon child. Nothing was more fun in soap than the freaking exorcism of their kid. Comedy gold.
Yep. Sadly, retired from the game, but still as lovely as ever. We're talking about Diana Canova. Our second headlining pick for the Hall of Fame this year. He's a man who has done it all. He's been on episodes of anything that was anything in the 1980s, talking about Punky Brewster, Gimme a Break, Dear John, Mr. Belvedere, Highway to Heaven, Murphy Brown, Dream On. He did all of that. Of course, we did talk about him in Love, Sydney. I don't think we talked about him on whatever Pandemonium is, but I know we talked about him on The Ropers. And...
Now, wait a second. Wait, wait. You don't know what Pandemonium is?
I don't know what Pandemonium is.
Early 80s cartoon, Saturday mornings on CBS, where three pandas, they get some sort of like superpowers. I remember this kind of sort of vividly, even though I think it was 13 episodes and done. But, you know, Pandemonium is something I remember from like 6, 7 years old on CBS. Yes. That wouldn't be where you'd know him best from, at least the cartoon you'd know him best, because we did talk about him about two and a half months ago as the lead on Where's Huddles.
Yep. And not only that, we also talked about him on Lots of Luck, talking about him on Kolchak the Night Stalker, Holmes and Yo-Yo. Stick Around! He was on Stick Around!
Yes, that one pilot with Andy Kaufman as a robot in his Latka voice.
Oh, that one. Oh, my gosh.
Hold on a second. You mentioned he was in Holmes and Yo-Yo. Now, I gotta ask, was he in Turnabout?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, thank God. I would have been sad if he was on Turnabout.
But yes, we are speaking of the one and only Cliff Norton.
Well, guys, our third headlining pick. He was basically a semi-regular on the Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour, wouldn't you say? And, of course, he was in Mr. Smith. So he was featured in our first two episodes right off the bat. And we are going to talk about him a third time later this year on this podcast. I won't say what it is, but let's just say it's going to come up real soon. And of course, who are we talking about, Mike?
Well, we're not talking about Mr. Smith himself. Though maybe, you know, we can make a case maybe next year. We're talking about Leonard Fry.
Yes. And I have to say, Leonard Fry on the Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour is like one of those like revelations, like, oh my god, this guy is so freaking good.
And also, let's remember, he's an Oscar-winning actor.
Yes! Fiddler on the Roof.
Fiddler on the Roof, exactly.
So let's transition from the Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour to OG Hollywood Squares for our final pick for the Hall of Fame, the main event of this episode. And dear Lord, let's think about how many times we've talked about him in the past. Okay, he had his own show. He had his own Halloween special. He had a Christmas special that we talked about.
He had the pilot in the 60s, Howie.
That's right. But also a master of so many quips over the years on Hollywood Squares. And we're talking about the main event, the center square, Paul Lynde.
And it's sort of appropriate we're doing it today, because today, March 30th, is Peter Marshall's 98th birthday.
Oh. Now I have to say, one of the highlights that we picked after the Roar in one episode was the one clip where Paul Lynde was doing the weather. You remember that?
In Toledo,
In
yes.
Toledo. And then he got to the one part of the country, I think it was like in Seattle or whatever. And he was reading the degrees. And you know what the degrees were in Seattle? 69.
Nice.
He said it. Happy 69! But yeah, we did the Paul Lynde show. That was excellent. You know what? Maybe one day we should do a revisited, because I know that was during the time when Mike was in the hospital. So I figure maybe one day we can give it a revisited so Mike can have something to say about the Paul Lynde show.
I've never even listened to that episode.
Maybe we'll include it in the best ofs in the rotation until August. Who knows? But yeah.
I know Mike's gonna have a word or two about that show.
Oh, it's great. Especially, it has Jerry Stiller and Ann Mirror as semi-regulars. How can you go wrong?
Oh, and also, since it hasn't been mentioned, we did talk about Paul Lynde again about 2.5 months ago, because he played Claude Pertwee, the neighbor, on Where's Huddles?
Yes.
So two Hall of Famers in this class were on Where's Huddles. But as I told Greg earlier, the episode of Super Train, where the president was on board, we talked about it earlier, this episode where Billy Barty and newly enshrined Joe Geeb went into the presidential suite on the train or whatever you want to call it. I told this to Greg earlier. There are five Hall of Famers on that episode. And that doesn't even include Keenan Wynn, who created the friggin' Super Train. So there's five Hall of Famers on that episode. Hail to the Chief, fourth episode of Super Train. We have newly inducted Charlie Brill, newly inducted Joe Geeb or Geib, Billy Barty, newly inducted Victor Buono, and from the first class, Bill Knuckles, because remember, he at the time, and probably still, he's the only person in his career to have been on 100% of entries of his television shows, because he was on Super Train and he was on Legends of the Superheroes, and that's his television career. And that gives him a 100% success rate, if you will. But also, I'm sure at some point, maybe Robert Alda, maybe an inductee, maybe Harrison Page, maybe Patrick Collins, just throwing some names out there. And also, as I said earlier, this does not include Keenan Wynn. Keenan Wynn wasn't in this episode. He was just on the first episode, I believe.
You know what? That should be live show worthy, the Hail to the Chief episode of Super Train, along with the Poker Train episode. We gotta do live shows of those two episodes one day. Because when we think of Super Train, we think those two episodes.
Did we ever revisit Super Train?
No, we
Nope.
haven't.
I think that's an idea.
Although, you have to think, I thought we pretty much covered everything there was to cover about Super Train.
Well, maybe not enough because we should go more in depth about Super Train. Like,
Well, also, Super Train, wasn't that like one of our first 20 episodes?
yeah.
So it's been well over 4 years since we first talked about it. And obviously, the way we do the show has changed over that time. So maybe it's worth looking into doing a revisited episode with some of the knowledge that we have now. I mean, we knew about Super Train being found in a barn in Pennsylvania or wherever and stuff like that. But did we get so deep into the celebrities? I don't think so. But also, yes, we do need to talk about the poker tournament on the train. We do need to talk about in depth the Hail to the Chief episode. And also, I'm sure we want to talk a little bit more about the disco on the Super Train that played the theme to Your Number's Up as disco music.
Not to mention why there's a pool on the Super Train.
Was also just looking at the names of the guests. Seriously, we could probably spend 2 hours just going over the guests. I mean, I'm just looking here. Tony Danza. I don't think we talked about Tony Danza on Super Train back in 1979. Zsa Zsa Gabor, Ron Masek, Rebecca Balding, Hall of Famer. George Hamilton, Abe Vigoda. Good heavens. Clyde Kusatsu, who I think is a fringe Hall of Famer. I know Chico's been trying to make a case for him for a number of years.
I really am.
There's just so many names.
Now, time out. Tony Danza was on the Super Train. I got two questions.
What? Okay, was his name Tony as the first one? No, it says his name was Snelling. Now, that is a last name, obviously, I'm going to assume. So maybe he was Tony Snelling. Who knows?
But I got another question. Did he have with him on the train somebody named Angela?
Angela?
Okay, now I'm actually looking for this episode because I want to get an answer to that question.
Angela.
Let's see. I do not see any person by the name of Angela on this episode.
Oh.
Joyce DeWitt played a Natalie on this episode,
Oh.
and Isabel Sanford played a Reba.
Oh, yeah, she was the heavy in that episode.
But yeah, there's no Angela.
Well, that's it, people. That's our Hall of Fame class of 2024. And let's see, where are we at now? It's 12, 17. So 46 people now in the It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Fame. So now we got 17 more people that they can look at the plaques at the Hall of Fame as they're greeted by the giant statue of McLean Stevenson. Well, I don't know what we have to say about the It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Fame class of 2024. And, I wonder how we're going to close this out.
We dance.
We dance.
I don't know.
Maybe we just hope next year's class is equally as diverse, if not more diverse, because we had a short person this year. We had a Thanksgiving Day balloon, for heaven's sakes. Next year, I don't know. I've got some ideas as to maybe who we could put in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. We could definitely find some diversity.
Well, that does it for 2024, and we'll have some more stuff coming down in the 2025 It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Fame class. Until then, I'm Greg. That's Mike, and that's Chico. And we'll see you next year for the It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Fame class of 2025. Wow!
On this week's Super Train Mystery, Hail to the Chief. Two dwarfs and a magician replace a presidential candidate with a double so real, even his wife can't tell.
JJ, all I want to do right now is go to bed.
On Super Train.